When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It feels like the offseason has been dominated by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Would you agree with that, John? Like all the noise coming out of
that,
Toronto.
You know, that I tell you what, that's it's not a bad point. When you think that at the end of the season, the dismissal of Brendan Shanahan, and then all the noise around Mitch Marner, and then the signing in Vegas. I think there is, first of all, I think there's always noise in Toronto, period. There has always been noise. As long as I have lived in Toronto, the Maple Leafs can put headlines in any of the newspapers or on any of the sports networks 12 months a year. It's just a fact of life. It seems to be more extreme this year, yes. But I do think that it's also probably reflective of where we are in a media world, on a social media world, and where we are in the business of hockey and the National Hockey League.
Head coach Craig Berube will join us in a couple of minutes. Do you think the Toronto Maple Leafs are better, the same, or worse this year compared to where they finished a year ago?
So I hate the word worse, but...
Well, there's three options there.
Yeah, I know. I hate the word worse, but I don't think they're as good. How's that? That's the difference between you're a cup half empty and I'm a cup half full guy. Here's why.
But we're drinking the same amount.
Yes, we are. Yeah, we are. We're drinking 8 ounces because we got a big 16-ounce glass. Here's why. I they're not going to score as many goals, I don't think, without Marner. I mean, they're more than 100 points that they've removed from the lineup. Now, they have put a couple of other guys in the lineup that can help out. I mean, Nick Roy, Nick Roy, he can help. And so that's a positive. But the other aspect of it is even if the Leafs are the same as last year, the teams around them have improved, Darren. So it's the double-edged sword of the challenge of trying to improve, trying to stay focused, trying to get more points than last year. But you know darn well that, you know, Tampa is probably better this year. Ottawa is better this year. Detroit is going to have to be better this year. The challenge of the Atlantic Division, to me, is... a big story that's reflective of where the Leafs are. There is a possibility, and I'm going to get hacked and whacked when I say this, but there's a possibility the Maple Leafs are a wild card team this year and might be the same as they were last year from a performance perspective. That is a real possibility with the way other teams are improving in the Eastern Conference, and particularly the Atlantic Division.
What is the most dominant part of the conversation? Marner, in some capacity, the blue line, or goaltending? It'll be Marner off the top, but as we go along, you know, the effects of, well, Austin's not producing as much. Is that because of Marner?
Yeah. See, I don't mind where their goaltending is. I think Joseph Woll and Stolarz were as advertised last year. No, that's a lie. Stolarz was better than advertised. And, you know, you have to hope that he can continue that. So that's a fair thing to say. Okay, we're going to stick with these two guys. I think the challenge is on the blue line. I really do. Morgan Rielly did not have a good year last year. Morgan Rielly was a challenge. I think there's lots of people that are surprised that when change was made this summer in Toronto, Morgan Rielly wasn't moved one way or the other. So that to me is a big part of where the Maple Leafs are going to have to improve. Chris Tanev's just, I mean, he's the ultimate teammate in my mind, but he has to stay healthy. Morgan Rielly has to be better. Jake McCabe had a good season. You know, Simone Benoit was a surprise, but at the same time, I think that defensively, this team has to be better, particularly when I don't think they're going to score as many goals as they did with Mitch Marner in the lineup.
Yeah, I also consider OEL a little bit of a wild card. We've seen him great, and we've seen him not at the elite level.
See, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is what he is now. You know, he's not what he was the first five seasons in Phoenix. He's certainly better than he was in Vancouver, and is still, enjoying some of the ripple effect of the year that he had in Florida. But, you know, he's not a top four defenseman anymore. I don't think he's a top. He's in the six, and he will contribute. But I think that the work on the blue line is where this team needs to improve the most.
Craig Berube is standing by. Shall we let him in?
Well, if you don't, he'll bust the door down anyway. So
it's a good point. The head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs on the other side on 100% Hockey with Millard and Chen.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Love being able to hang out with the head coaches. And here's the second year man with the Toronto Maple Leafs, Craig Berube. Does it feel different this year, Chief, than it did a year ago?
Familiarity, right? You spend a year here and you know the guys, you know the organization and how things work and you know how we're doing things. So yeah, for sure, it's a little bit of familiarity, which helps. And I'm excited, ready to go, like always. You know, I think that feeling hasn't changed for me over the years. You know, you come into camp, you come here already, you see the guys all, you know, skating, preparing for camp. So it's a real exciting time for me all the time.
How does it feel like you know what's coming up ahead for the meat grinder or the media?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's all part of it here. We all know that. So, and I understand that. And, to be honest with you, I mean, I didn't have an issue with it last year. I mean, there's a lot. Yeah. And there's a lot of questions you got to answer. And, you know, there's a lot of media here, but that's part of the job. And, I understood that coming in here. So you just got to deal with it and, you know, do your best and give them what they need. And that's all part of the job.
Be worried when they're not asking questions.
Yeah, probably, right?
Hey, the one thing that has changed since last year is there's no Brendan Shanahan. Your relationship, obviously, with Brad is strong, and you probably now have a new relationship with Keith Pelley. How does that affect things?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, like, I had a great relationship with Shanny, you know, just playing against him for a number of years. And, you know, but he, to me, it was a real good relationship last year. I thought we worked well together. Well, this guy's, you know, he's a Hall of Fame hockey player. He knows the game very well. And so I had a lot of good conversations with him about the game and where we're at and things that we need to get better at and just talking. And so it obviously is a change. But I got a good relationship with Keith. I got to know him well last year. And he's a great guy. And, you know, it's a little bit of a new direction, but I think it's going to be great.
Talked to a couple of players who faced your team last year on the front side, and they told me it was like a different club than the year before. Where do you have to continue that this year to be better?
Yeah, for sure. I think our identity doesn't change. I think we formed a good identity last year, and it's getting it better. You know, we were right there, I thought. You know, but you know,
where does it have to get better?
I think mentally. You know, I think I look at game 7 and game 5 at home against Florida. You know, we didn't perform at the level that we needed to in those games, and we got impatient at times and just didn't stick to our game. You know, if you look at game 6 in Florida, we played a really good, solid game. We were patient all game in that game. We were heavy. We were hard. And I just thought that we didn't do that at home, you know. So I think the mindset here at home in these big games has to improve. But overall, I think we still can improve our identity, and that's the focus this year at camp is, you know, we could be tougher than we were. I mean, and it's not – has nothing to do with the fighting aspect of the game. It's just being a hard physical team and a mentally tough team and not breaking. You know, you can bend, but you can't break. So that's, to me, that's a big thing here in camp that we got to push and get our players to take another step.
You know, you bring up a good point about playing at home. You're a Canadian kid.
Yeah.
You watch Saturday nights. The Maple Leafs played every Saturday night. Everybody dreamed about playing on Hockey Night in Canada. Do you think there's less of a home ice advantage of people coming back to play in Toronto than it is other places, like whether it was in Philly for you or in St. Louis when you coached?
I do. I really do. I think that teams come in here, and a lot of Canadian players and hometown Toronto guys, they're excited to play here. They're looking forward to it. So I found that, you know, games at home are hard. They really are. And we got to be better. I mean, we got to understand that these teams that are coming in here, they're excited. They're going to be jacked up to play the Leafs at home. And I think that we can play more to our identity at home. You don't have to be great, but you got to be good. You know what I mean? We don't need great plays. We need good, smart hockey plays to our identity at home as much as we do on the road. And I think that's a step that this team has to take. And dealing with all the pressures of the home ice here, you know, in Toronto with the fans and the media and everything, that's all part of it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not easy. So that's the step that we need to take here.
You talked about the focus of camp. How do you get better at that and be stronger and bending but not breaking?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Well, I think I think it's more of a mental perspective. I think it's about discussing it with our team more than normal and understanding, you know, and it's going to become, you know, situational and video and things like that, you know, games at home that you can pick out and show your team, you know, these are the types of plays that we don't need here at home. Like, you know, we got to be direct all the time, whether at home or on the road. We need to play the same way. And I think at home we get to be a little bit too cute at times. And like I said, we want to make the great play, right? You know, especially your top guys, they want to perform at home. They want to, you know, perform in front of their fans and the people of Toronto. But, you know, we got to get past that, you know, and then the focus has to be on doing the right things for what's best for the team.
How do you replace 102 points?
Well, you don't. And Mitch is a great player. We all know that. Like I said, I love coaching him. I learned a lot from him. He's a smart player, very intelligent. But you don't replace that. It's just we replaced them with a few different players here that we think are going to be valuable to our team. I think we got bigger over the summer, adding Roy and Joshua. Michelli's a young guy that has played some real good hockey in Arizona and Utah. Skilled player. We all know that he can make plays. So, you know, just see how where it all fits. I'm not sure where he's going to play yet. So I got to see different combinations and things like that where I can feel the chemistry. But listen, you lose a great player, and but you replace them with some real good players, and we all got to just, you know, pull it together as a team. It's about the team, not one player.
Craig, would you have had a conversation with Mitch after he signed in Vegas?
Did I have a conversation with
him?
No, I didn't. You know, it's not like I called him up on the phone, but, you know, I talked to Mitch. I wished him good luck and everything, I don't have any hard feelings. You know, players, that's their choice. They're a free agent. They can make those decisions, and that's, you know, what's best for them and their family.
As a coach, could you see it weighing on Mitch throughout the season?
No, I didn't see it weighing on Mitch throughout the season. I thought he handled everything extremely well throughout the year. I think the trade deadline, I saw a little bit of, you know, his game maybe drop off a little bit, you know, towards that or after that for a little bit. But other than that, I thought that I didn't see it weighing on him throughout the season at all. And, you know, like, you know, people may not, you know, realize this, but he was very low maintenance for me as a coach. You know, it's not like I had to go and talk to him about a lot of different things, or, you know, he played really well for us. Practice habits were excellent. Energy was excellent all the time. Practice games, you know. So he was very low maintenance.
How happy were you that John Tavares re-signed?
Very happy. You know, Johnny's as good as a pro as you can find in the game, in my opinion. The way he prepares, and great team guy, great teammate, leadership. So, again, I didn't see any signs of him slowing down last year. I thought he had a tremendous year, and he did. You know, for me, I look at Johnny. Everything that he does is what's best for the team, and that's very important.
Does Austin's game have to change at all without Mitch?
It might have to. We'll see how things roll around and who's going to play there and at that position. I don't know if his game has to change that much, but he might have to, you know, one scenario you could think about is he might have to do more himself with the puck in the offensive zone at times, you know, hang on to a little longer. He won't have that give and go chemistry he had with Mitch, you know, and, you know, you don't have a, you know, we don't have a, you know, Mitch Marner looking for him all the time to make the play to him. So, you know, he might have to adjust a little bit that way. But other than that, I think his game, you know, what he does without the puck and defensively and all that, that doesn't have to change for me. I think in the ozone, he's going to have to find some chemistry with another player.
Intermission time on 100% Hockey. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more with Craig Berube with Millard and Chen. What are you planning on doing with your goaltending and how you're going to disseminate that?
Yeah. I don't think it changes from last year. I think that we got a great tandem here. I think you got to use both guys, especially in today's game with the schedule the way it is. Both goalies are going to play. It'll play itself out. It'll play itself out throughout the season. But I see both goalies getting significant starts throughout the year.
You talk about schedule being an Olympic year. Compacted schedule again.
Yeah.
How much time have you looked at the schedule trying to figure out when to practice, when to travel.
Oh, yeah, that's all done already. But there's obviously adjustments that you make throughout the season. You know, you get a good feel for your players, where they're at, you know, how tired they are and things like that. And obviously people around the organization that monitor that stuff too. So, it, you know, practice time will dwindle throughout the season for sure. It's going to get heavy and, you know, there's not going to be a ton of it. You know, we've been through this before, so it's nothing new, but it's, you know, it's just understanding where your team at, your team's at, and players, and, you know, there's going to be extra time off for rest for sure.
Does that, is that part of you leaning on your, and every team calls it now, their, your leadership group, and saying, and where's the temperament of this club? Where's their mindset at this point?
Yeah, for sure. But I think you got to be careful a little bit too. You do want to lean on them. You got to talk to your leaders and where they're at mentally and physically and things like that. But also, you know, as a staff, coaching staff, you got to do what you think is best too. At times, you know, there's times you got to push them. They're going to be tired, but there's times you got to get out there and work on things. And it may not be long, but 20 minutes is important a lot of times. So you don't want to lose that either, right? You can't just always say, while they're tired, we're going to take a break. You got to stay sharp.
And, no, one guy-
and that's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, they're going to be physically tired and they're going to be mentally tired. So, but you got to push through that, you know, you got to push through that.
The one guy you won't have to push is Chris Tanev.
No.
what did you know? I know you've been around the league a long time. You've seen Chris play a lot, but what did you learn about Chris behind the bench when he was in front of you?
Yeah, he's just a warrior, you know, like stability. I mean, he just does the right things every time out there. I get the same player every night, you know, and you don't see that too often. Like, I mean, I don't know. I couldn't count how many games where I saw him off. You know, he was just always there for the team, you know, whether it's blocking a shot, to breaking up a play, you know, making them little 5-foot passes he makes. You know, he's just such a good pro and great teammate. Obviously, just, he's a warrior for me. He lays it on the line every game.
We've put different labels on defensive groups. How would you title your six?
I think that for me, I know they didn't provide a ton of offense throughout the season, but I thought it got better as the season went along, started to adjust. Playoffs, they scored some goals and provided some offense. So I feel like that's going to carry forward this year at the start of the season. But, you know, I think that they were physical. They played hard. They protected our net. They protected the interior of the ice in all three zones. We want to continue to do that, whether it's, you know, their big bodies blocking shots, getting in the way, being physical, good sticks. So, you know, they're a very good defensive group, and we got to continue to be that. But there's more offense there, and I thought it started to come throughout the season and better in the playoffs. So we want to continue to provide some offense back there too.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but do you need more from Morgan Riley?
Well, yeah, we do. And I think that, again, the offense side of things started to come later on in the season. You know, he wanted to focus on the defensive side of things and being a better, you know, defensive player, more physical, more reliable back there. But I think, you know, maybe we took that away. We took his instincts away from him a little bit. He started to come back. But I can tell you this, Morgan's put in a hell of a summer, and he looks great. And he's, you know, he's in great shape. You know, I don't know if it's the best shape he's ever been in, but it's probably pretty close. So he took it to heart last year. He wasn't happy with the season offensively. So he put in some great work this summer. And, you know, I think we're going to see a different player.
Matthew Nyes gets paid. What's the upside? Do you see a ceiling there? And how far beyond where he is now is that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I don't see a whole lot changing. I think he is, you know, the player he is. I thought that he established himself as a true power forward last year. He needs to continue to do that. He needs to play in straight lines, be physical, win those battles, be a great forecheck player, and get to the net. That's where he scored a lot of his goals. But he has good hands. I saw it in tight in the playoffs too, where he did some really, pretty cool moves and things like that because he's got great hands. So, I what's the ceiling? Can he score more this year? We hope so. But again, he doesn't have to get away from what he is. And, we need him to be who he was last year and try to evolve a little bit. He touched all situations for us. He was a great penalty killer. He did a great job on the PP in front of the net. And again, that power forward, that's what we want.
Is it a given he's playing with Austin?
he'll probably start there. Hopefully he stays there. I think he's a good compliment to Austin. I really do. I mean, he gets in there, wins a lot of battles down low, and gets the puck loose to those guys, and then he knows his job. He's going to the net, and he's around that net.
And you got to hope that Austin stays healthy.
Yeah, for sure. He feels really good, Austin. He's had a good summer that way, so we got to make sure we keep him healthy. And, I think that obviously hurt him last year with the production. But, the guy, he had a hell of a year in a lot of different areas. I know the goals weren't there, but he was a really, really good 200-foot player for us.
Evaluate the East and where you guys fit in to the conference.
Oh, I mean, it's a battle. I think Ottawa is going to be maybe better than they were last year. I mean, those players, that their young guys are going to improve. They're going to be better. That's a good team. They got a lot of good players. They got a goalie that really established themselves in net. So they're going to be tough. Florida's tough. Tampa's tough. I mean, it's a tough division.
Hey, your division is hell. It's hell.
It's hell. I agree. It's not easy. It's a very tough division. Montreal's going to be better.
Yeah.
So it's a battle. It's going to be a battle, and I expect that.
We talked to the players, and we always ask them the same routine questions. When did you go back on the ice? When did you start training in the summertime? Is it easier for a coach or is it tougher for a coach because you can't turn it off?
Yeah, I think we get downtime. I think, you get through June, June's, you're always, getting ready for the draft and free agency and development camp and things like that. So it's sort of a busy month, whether you're in the playoffs or not. July is more of a downtime and early August, I would say. You try to get your coaches meetings. I try to get together with the coaches at some point, whether it's, in later June or depending on how far you go in the playoffs, and just get everything down, get everything going in the right direction. We had to hire a new coach. So,
right.
We got those meetings out of the way fairly early this year. And, I don't know if you ever turn it off. I'm always, thinking and talking to people about the game and our team and where we can get better and little things you can do to try to improve.
I don't think I ever want to go into an interview with Craig Berube for a coaching job. I'd be scared to death.
Why do you say that?
Why? Look at him. I mean, he's a big huggable bear. Come on now, right?
You're an intimidating dude.
Well, what you do is you interview guys and you talk to the coaches, whoever you're interviewing, and you get a good feel for what you want, right? You get a good feel for how they conduct themselves and how they talk and their personalities. I think it's important that the personality fits with your coaching staff. I always felt like your coaching staff has to be tight. It's got to, work together really well. They don't have to agree all the time, but definitely it's important that they, it's a tight group
What did you like in Derek Lalonde to join
your
staff?
Very intelligent guy, speaks extremely well, presents extremely well, knows the game well. And the personality for me jumped out more than anything. I think he's going to work really well with our players, teaching them and helping them get better. But also with our group, he fits in extremely well.
Did you enjoy coaching in Toronto more than you expected?
Probably.
Yeah.
I did. I thought, you know, from the city to the fans, the media, the organization, the players, I enjoyed all of it. I really did.
It's changed a lot since you played here.
A lot. A lot. But, you know, the organization's first class, working with Brad is first class. Brad and I's relationship is very close. And I really enjoyed the players. Like I said, I've said this before, the professionalism that they come in every day with the work ethic, and it starts for me just when I see guys getting here early and preparing and in the gym together as a team, working together in the gym and getting prepared, and on the ice, the practice, the level of practice, the intensity, and the hard work. That's what you want as a coach.
Will the elimination of the dress code filter down to the coaches?
No, I haven't heard anything. I think we're wearing suits still. Well, unless we pull a torts and start wearing the zip ups, right?
You got to have a torts tribute night one night.
Well, he set the tone there. Torts, he just wears the zip ups. I love it. I love it. So, but no, that doesn't change for us. I don't think it's going to change a lot for the players. Look, I haven't seen players roll into games. They're not going to roll in dressing like slobs. These guys, you know, they understand, and they're going to dress accordingly. I don't see it being an issue.
Just tell Savard to stop wearing the black shirt, okay?
Yeah, for sure. He's got a little – we got to get Savvy some new clothes.
Chief, thanks for doing this, buddy. Good luck.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Always, anytime. Thank you very much for having me on.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Didn't bring up William Nylander or get to William Nylander at all. That's a player that is going to have to be pretty darn significant for any success here.
See, I'm a huge Nylander fan. And
so am I.
I have been since the Babcock days when, you know, Mike didn't really enjoy him that much, I don't think. I think Nylander has embraced everything, every aspect of being a Maple Leaf player on the ice, off the ice. And I think it's been reflective of his play. He's also a guy, you know, the game of hockey is not a cheap game to go and watch anymore. But he's also a guy, when you go to the arena, he's fun to watch. He is so much fun to watch. Does he make some defensive lapses? Sure, but boy, oh boy, his upside is so good. And to me, I almost want to tell you that he might be more important in the regular season to this club than Austin is at this point.
Three straight 40-goal seasons. So to ask him to score more, it's not like where you're going, okay, he's got to get back to where he was. Like,
no, but he needs to discuss with Austin.
But
he needs a fourth 40-goal season. You know, that's what he needs. He needs to maintain this consistency for this team to keep going in the right direction. This is an unbelievably challenging year, I think, for the Leafs. As we talked about at the top of the show, everybody around them is gunning for them. I think the Maple Leafs are going to be in tough. I think, you know, Brad Treliving, you have to wonder if he's done enough, particularly the bottom six forwards. Has he done enough in order to improve this hockey club? I'm a Dakota with Joshua fan. Mm-hmm. I thought when he was healthy in Vancouver before the cancer, he was a big factor for the Canucks. And you have to hope that he can be back at that level playing actually for the team that originally drafted him way back when, but playing for Toronto in a style I assume, and I think you would too, that Craig Berube would appreciate.
But John Tavares, one of the best bargains in hockey, if he continues to put up numbers like he has.
And I think the question becomes, as the conversation goes on during the season, will be, can this team survive with Tavares as your number two center? Can he? Because I mean, last year, I think, you know, when everything was going well, he was just as effective as the number three center.
But 38 goals from your number two center is still good.
Yes. Yeah. No. I know. And it's, but I mean, we've all, listen, has John Tavares, you know, that 7-year contract, what was, when he moved back to Toronto, Darren, when he came back to Toronto, what was his goal and objective to come back to Toronto to do?
Win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. How has that gone? And so that's why there's still some question marks about it. You're right. He's a tremendously good player for the price that they are paying him now. You're right. And he's still good in the faceoff circle, and he's still competitive. But, you know, in an 82-game preseason – which it
it's
always
not, though. It's not a preseason. If you're talking about Toronto being in a wild card spot, it's not.
Right.
Luxury is out the window now.
And because for the last 5 years, it's been an 82-game preseason. Now there's a lot more pressure, I think, in the regular season for the Maple Leafs. So it's going to be fascinating to see. And John's got to maintain that, you know, that level of production. And I don't know, I don't know how you say he has to be more prolific, but he has to play better at times when this team needs it.
Interesting. Craig was not shy about this team having to be mentally stronger, and it was going to be a focus from camp outward.
Well, and I think that's a message more for his veterans than it is for anybody else. You know, these guys, Toronto is a great place to play the game. It is a great lifestyle in Toronto to play the game. Oftentimes you can take it for granted. You can take it for granted. And I think that's part of the message that Craig's trying to give them. You can't take it for granted.
People are going to love Nick Waugh as a player that I've watched the last number of years in Vegas, going over in the Mitch Marner transaction. Just reliable, solid, can chip in offensively. You'd like to see a little bit more there. I think there is a little bit more there.
Big body hockey too, right? Big body.
He can do it all. I'll tell you a Nick Waugh story. He's playing in L.A. against the Kings, and there's a scrum there. And he gets tangled up, and Drew Doughty grabs him and pulls him over and says, "Hey, are you a Roy or a Wah?" And Nick says, "Wah." He's like, "Bug off, Wah." And shows him aside. That's one of the greatest Drew Doughty stories I've ever heard.
That's typical Drew, right?
Yeah.
Typical Drew.
But people are going to fall in love with Nick Wah just with the dependability.
Yeah, well, I think this... You know, this team so many times, you know, after the end of the Big Four, which we have now seen, the end of the Big Four, there has been so much pinpointed on what that bottom six group has to do for the Maple Leafs, you know, and Nick Waugh has to be part of the success of that bottom six, don't you think?
Yeah,
Bobby McMahon's part of that group too, and Bobby McMahon did not score a goal in the playoffs. Bobby McMahon needs to be better.
it's more commonly referred to as a top nine now instead of
that depends what
top
team
six, bottom
that depends,
six.
That depends what team you're with.
Yeah, Toronto's closer to the old school, right down the middle. Fun stuff with Craig Berube. He's not as intimidating as you.
Oh, stop it. Neither of us. We're both lovable huggy bears, you know? That's all.
I wouldn't call you a teddy bear.
Come on!
Ted, maybe.
No.
Talk to you next time. 100% hockey. Tell everybody, share this, some fun stuff with Craig Berube. Let's get it out there and make sure everybody's able to enjoy it.
Zach Parise on Friday.
Ooh. There's a transition, a guy going through a new chapter in his life.
Exactly. And a new member of the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. We'll talk to him on Friday.
Boy, travels of Zach Parise. We might need 3 hours for that one. It's 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Talk to you then.